actually always have insomnia the night before jobs day.
Is that right?
Because I really am like a kid on Christmas, like the night before Christmas, of like my boyfriend like will roll over and be like, aren't you going to sleep yet? I'm like, no, you don't understand. The numbers are coming out in the morning.
I think you've come to the right place then. Okay, let's get started. Hey, everybody, it's Cardiff, and you know what day it is. And if you don't, and as the air horn signals, it is Jobs Friday. And in the month of August, some decent news. The economy added 201,000 jobs, and wage growth also accelerated. But blah, blah, bliggity, blah. Look, we never spend too much time on the indicator covering the monthly fluctuations in the report. We like to look at longer trends and do things a little bit differently. And this month, we asked listeners on Instagram and Twitter to submit questions about the labor market for us to answer on the show. And to field those questions for today's show, we called up Martha Gimbel. Martha, hello.
Morning.
So Martha, first of all, why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
So my name is Martha Gimbel. I'm the Director of Economic Research at Indeed.com's Hiring Lab. And we here at the Hiring Lab use Indeed's data, look at publicly available data to figure out what's going on in the labor market.
So basically, you oversee a team of people whose entire mission in life is to dissect and understand the labor market. In a room full of labor market nerds, you are the nerd in chief. You are the nerd jefe. Is that right?
Yes. We're like the Avengers, but for labor market data.
Perfect. All right. Well, Martha's going to field your questions, and that is coming up right after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator. Support also comes from ExxonMobil, the company that's helping cars go further with less, making cars more efficient and helping to reduce emissions. Learn more at energyfactor.com. ExxonMobil. Energy lives here.
Okay, Martha, let's get right into it. First question. Waston Mikey wants to know, I'm about to graduate college. What should I do?
So first of all, welcome to the labor force.
I'm so hesitant to answer this question because I'm afraid that if I give the wrong advice, it's going to send him or her on a trajectory that they'll never be able to return from. What do you think?
So depending on some your particular risk preferences, you can actually take a look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics occupational projections and see what jobs they project to grow faster or slower over the next 10 years. So if you're looking for a career that is likely to be around for a while, the Bureau of Labor Statistics will tell you what that is. So jobs in healthcare, computer and mathematical occupations, legal occupations, all projected to grow faster than average over the next 10 years.
What about this idea that somebody who's, let's say, 22, 23 years old, just out of college, wants to choose a profession? Is it the case that if they choose one profession that they're locked in for a long time, that they'll never be able to recover? What about the possibility of switching from profession to profession?
No, and that's one of the things that we've seen on Indeed is that most people, when they're conducting their job search, when they look for a job, they're looking outside their current job title. And often they're looking to switch occupations. I'll add, you know, don't worry about what skills you have right now. When I was in college, I studied classics. My big skill when I graduated was translating Greek and Latin. Oh. I learned most of what I know about being an economist after college.
Okay. Next question comes from Ben M. Walk. What sectors are doing the best and worst in terms of jobs growth and wage growth?
So overall, job growth is doing really well right now. It's actually accelerated this year, which is astonishing to see at this point in the recovery. Mm-hmm. So far this year, you're seeing faster growth in professional and business services, making up about half of the faster job growth we've seen this year.
What are those?
So professional and business services includes things like legal services, accounting, computer systems design, advertising.
Okay, so those jobs are growing really quickly.
Yes. Looking at wage growth, overall, it looks like it's accelerating. It jumped up to 2.9% this month, which is incredibly exciting. We here at Indeed broke out the industries by wage level, so low-wage industries, medium-wage industries, and high-wage industries. So low- and middle-wage industries did really well this month in wage growth. Overall this year, it's actually been much more a story of acceleration in wage growth in middle-wage industries. Middle-wage industries include things like real estate and residential building construction. Low-wage and high-wage industries have been bouncing around the same wage level since about 2016.
Okay. Next question comes from the Valentin Diaz, and this is an interesting one. How has the ability to apply for jobs online affected the labor market?
So one thing economists have talked about recently is a decrease in what we call quote-unquote churn. Basically, people are switching jobs less often than they used to. The jury is still out on whether or not that's a good thing and on what's causing it. But one factor could be that with more information and selection available online, workers and employers are finding better matches, which means people don't feel the need to switch jobs as often.
That's fascinating. In other words, you would think that because it is easier to post jobs online, that maybe people would be finding out about jobs more often, and they'd be, in fact, switching to go to those jobs. But what ends up happening is that because jobs are being posted online, people are actually finding a better fit initially, and so after they take that job, they just end up staying there because it's such a great match.
That could be what's going on.
Interesting. Okay. Next question comes from ZAK. Why is the job market so terrible for employers? Where are all the smart and skilled people? My God, that is quite a brutal premise to the question. Martha, what do you think?
Yeah, the job market is not so terrible for employers. We just saw them hire over 200,000 workers this month, which is an astonishing number this late in the recovery.
Yep.
Wage growth does look like it's accelerating, but for the last few years, it's been holding steady. One reason for this might be because we're still seeing people stuck in part-time jobs who are trying to find full-time work. If you look at the fastest growing job search terms on Indeed, they're for things like 9-to-5 and full-time. That suggests that employers who want to hire without raising wages have been able to look to people who are part-time employed but want full-time work, and therefore they can still hire new workers without having to raise wages.
Next question comes from AgeGare8759. Can we begin to see any trends due to the trade wars? And the word wars there is in air quotes, signifying that obviously this person knows that we're not actually in a deep trade war just yet, but there's been a lot of trade controversy. There have been some tariffs going up in the U.S. and in other countries in retaliation. And the question, I guess, is has that shown up in the labor market?
So short story, no.
Okay.
Longer story, overall, jobs numbers aren't showing impacts. So it could actually be really hard to see impacts of tariffs in the jobs numbers. First of all, looking at specific sectors is going to be hard because there's just so many different things being discussed at this point. A second point is just that overall, right now, job growth is still so high. And, you know, high estimates of the impact of tariffs on job growth say we could lose about 400,000 jobs as a result. To be clear, that's really bad. But assuming that comes in over time, we might not end up noticing it in the monthly numbers. It would be reasonable at this point in an economic cycle for job growth to start slowing down. So if over the next few months, the payroll job growth numbers start coming in lower, it could be hard to figure out if that's because of tariffs or just because we're at that point in the economic cycle. So one thing we did at Indeed to try to get around that problem was we took a look specifically at solar industry job postings. We did see a slight dip in solar postings after the tariff was enacted, but they're back up to previous levels, and frankly, the industry appears to be holding up. But it should be emphasized that it's likely too soon to see impacts showing up. Things are still really uncertain, and firms are still adjusting.
Okay, perfect. Martha Gimbel, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Before you can start your day, you like to know what's happening in the news. That's what Up First is for. It's the morning news podcast from NPR, the news you need to take on the day in just about 10 minutes. Listen to Up First on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.